G'day, Money Miners. Welcome to the show for Monday, 8th of May. Good weekend. JD, Trav, good weekend, lads. Was it?
Very good, mate. Very interesting.
Sure was on my end.
Oh, isn't it sensational, too, when you wake up on a Monday morning and, one, find that the Money of Mine video has been put on the SL Silver Lake Resources website, the link, and there is today now a new announcement from them. And let's note another non-ASX announcement, which is a clarification from Silver Lake in a lot of detail about this whole competing proposal for the Leonora assets. Lads, excitement levels rated 1 to 10. How are we?
Oh, mate, I'm captivated. I mean, we're filming pretty late today, and I feel like we're getting very in the weeds on this deal in a way that we normally don't. We're a bit more surface level, but I feel like we're into this one. It's like riveting.
Yeah, I'll give you an 8 out of 10, Maddie. I think this is a really exciting announcement, and I think what I can sort of surmise from the transaction and the announcement, and we'll go into it in much greater detail, is that this is a push to reach out to the St. Barbara shareholders. What do you guys reckon?
Mate, absolutely. This announcement is 100% a sales pitch to St. Barbara's existing shareholders. It's pitching the merits of themselves as a company, and also, you know, the merit of the premium that they're offering.
A lot of aggressive wording, and I don't know if there's a few sly digs that you can read into, whether you I've read into them too much, but a lot of things stood out, and we're going to go through the whole thing and give a bit more of analysis. And if you didn't hear our first episode on this deal, head back to last week. There's the YouTube video, the full audio episode on Silver Lake's first deal they put to St. Barbara, which didn't make the ASX. Now,
wasn't the first deal. I mean, we found out today that they've been talking for 12 months.
This is true.
You know, it's the first one we've seen publicly.
And then, because I did raise the question last week, why have Silver Lake waited this long to put a proposal in to buy the Leonora assets? But at the second paragraph of this announcement, it states that Silver Lake has unsuccessfully attempted to engage with St. Barbara over the last 12 months. So why?
Yeah. So a lot of stern words in there, like you highlighted, Maddie, and I think they've got a bit of a bone to pick with a couple different entities. I'm sure one of them is with the ASX, the St. Barbara board, and perhaps from some of the wording, Genesis as well, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, well, and as we are pretty much taking on the role of the ASX for Silver Lake at the moment, because as I said, this has not been released to the ASX. So if you want a copy of the full announcement, head to the Silver Lake Resources website, go to investors, media announcements, and you will find this announcement also with a link to our previous episode. So let's get into it, lads. Let's run through it. As we previously mentioned, Silver Lake were attempting to engage but unsuccessfully with the St. Barbara Board for the past 12 months. You would assume in relation to possibly acquiring this. Silver Lake is, as they say in this announcement, extremely disappointed that the St. Barbara Board has determined not to engage with them. Right, let's get into it. Where would we like to start? There's a bit to go through here.
How about we start with one of their first rebuttals regarding the 2 weeks due diligence. So one of St. Barbara's points was that they didn't believe that Silver Lake would be able to get through and do the due diligence, and on the reverse side, that St. Barbara wouldn't be able to do the due diligence of Silver Lake, bearing in mind that they would be a roughly 26% shareholder in Silver Lake post the transaction. So they didn't think that was a quick enough time. So one of the rebuttals straight up was that, you know, had they just sort of said yes, they could be halfway done with that now. And I think it's a pretty valid point. St. Barbara don't need to accept the deal to let that due diligence start. So they could have got that underway, and it seems like there's only upside from that point of view. They could have had Silver Lake come in, potentially turn that into a binding agreement or a binding bid, And that would lead to what we discussed on Friday, the matching component of Genesis's deal to get the Leonora assets.
Yeah, I think
and the fact that it's been going for 12 months, Trav, do you think they would have done a lot of DD already?
Yeah, it sounds like the response that they've had while they've been knocking on the door has not been, you know, an inviting one. So I'm sure they've done as much DD as they can from public information. You know, I'm sure they still have some questions that relate to the sort of information that you keep behind closed doors. You know, but you know, JD, to your point on the strategy of letting them in the front door or not, the piece of information that we don't have in front of us, and we won't until you know the transaction docs come up on the ASX, is what exactly are the terms, the fiduciary terms, and the customary fiduciary out in relation to the exclusivity of the no shop, no talk, etc. Silver Lake have made some estimations of what those terms are in this letter, but you know the extent to which we have real visibility on what the fiduciary out looks like is really subject to the terms of those clauses.
Yeah, they've kept it quite close to their chest, haven't they, St. Barbara? So it also brings about a couple other questions as to why St. Barbara don't just open the door and let Silver Lake do a bit of due diligence and see if the value sort of stacks up. And I think this goes back to what we spoke about on Friday that relates to deal fatigue, the personal relationships that was highlighted in the LinkedIn post, which of course Silver Lake highlighted later on, and a bit of commitment bias to this transaction that's been in the works for quite a while.
Yeah, they had a big dig at that at Dan Locker's post about the keys. To go in parallel with Raoul Finlayson's photo of him at Gwalia, he said, I can't let Raoul have the only social media post. So picture of the keys saying there was hand in the looking forward to the deal to be done by July 1st. But then Silver Lake have put it in their announcement today saying, look, the fact that St. Barbara shareholders hadn't approved the deal yet, it appears presumptuous and inappropriate to be making such public statements. So
yeah, it's an interesting one now with the knowledge that we have that Silver Lake had been trying to knock on the door for 12 months that he would make this LinkedIn post. But I think how about we start going through a few more of the lines of the Silver Lake rebuttal to each of those points that St. Barbara made.
And it looks like they've downloaded the transcript from Friday's Money of Mine episode and just put a Silver Lake letterhead on it. What do you guys reckon?
Doesn't it, hey?
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's been good getting a lot of positive feedback for this one, in contrast to our previous negative feedback from Patriot and AVZ shareholders.
Yeah, almost feel the need to flag that we're just sort of calling it how it is, aren't we?
That's right, mate.
Despite obviously, the fluttering, you boys have called it very well. There's been a lot of great feedback from your episode, FYI.
Yeah, so let's dig into it a bit. So straight up the top, talking about that contingent payment. Silver Lake obviously had a bit of a gripe with this as well, and I think that's something we'd rightly highlighted on Friday. You can't really count that $60 million as $60 million at face value, given it's years down the track, and there's potential doubts as to whether that'll come about. Hey,
well, yeah. Silver Lake's wording was as receipt of the consideration by St. Barbara remains uncertain. So
I did note that you know, Silver Lake were apprehensive to actually value that themselves. They did some analysis, you know, wording it as consider it as full tote, and then they did some analysis excluding it. But they were interestingly a bit apprehensive to try and value that themselves.
Yeah, that's right. In the charts, the one chart I think that they include in the announcement today, you can see it doesn't count any of that at all when they look back at what that premium percentage for the Genesis bid looks like.
I still think a 20% haircut to that is probably fair. JD, what about the point on funding essentially being ready?
Yep, I think we called this one as well. I don't think the point that St. Barbara made holds much water. I'm certain that Silver Lake would have spoken with Taurus. They would have had the $150 million facility lined up. Taurus, in turn, would have been ready to and agreed to do their due diligence in 2 weeks. And on top of that, Silver Lake themselves have, I think, $268 million in cash. So that one doesn't hold much water for me.
Yeah, and
could have been confirmed at the Macquarie Investor conference last week, which Silver Lake were at, and I assume Taurus might have been as well.
Well, I mean, Silver Lake revealed that, you know, that 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 facility was already credit approved. You know, it's just sort of just the subject to the due diligence that they would have undertaken. And in all fairness, the big factor for Taurus wouldn't have actually been the outcomes of that due diligence. It had likely just been whatever security was offered by Silver Lake, because, you know, the value of Silver Lake's assets is just miles greater than the value of any acquisition facility that would have been provided. So there's so much protection there as a lender that you're just not worried.
Yeah, there was one other point that we didn't talk too much about, a potential $25 million working capital facility that Silver Lake would offer to St. Barbara to sort of see them through that time, and that sort of speaks to the cash flow issues that we have. So that leads in turn to the next point. Silver Lake state that St. Barbara would have $148 million in cash. Now, our analysis showed a number quite a bit smaller, but Trav, I'll let you break down where the differences really lie. And just to state up the top, I think when you look at it from our point of view, even though the number at face value is very different, I think our analysis still holds up quite well, doesn't it?
I think so. So yeah, I mean, Silver Lake argue that St. Barbara's pro forma cash under the Silver Lake offer would be $148 million. On Friday's episode, we articulated why we thought that number is actually more like $41 million. So I think it is worth touching on. You know, you might be thinking, oh, geez, what did you guys get wrong? But, you know, I think there's a few different perspectives to add here. The first thing to point out is that Silver Lake are articulating what St. Barbara's unrestricted pro forma cash balance would be. But you have to keep in mind that, you know, St. Barbara have already flagged that they're going to be required to have a restricted cash amount equivalent to about 75 million Aussie bucks in order to back, you know, an environmental liability in relation to their Atlantic asset. And so when you look at what St. Barbara's going to actually be able to do from the perspective of funding, you know, development at their Atlantic and Simberi assets after the fact, they can't use that cash. So I think it's far more interesting to talk about, you know, what is the cash amount that they're going to have that they can actually use to create value in these assets, and you have to net that off.
Exactly. We're really highlighting the unrestricted cash amount that St. Barbara will have after the fact that they can put into their subsequent two assets that they hold to get them up to scratch, really, aren't we?
Totally. And look, I think, you know, there's another calculation difference that drives things a little bit here, and that's I actually think Silver Lake may have missed this very minor detail, or maybe they've intentionally left it out. I'm not so sure.
Although St. Barbara did work hard to make it hard to come by.
Yeah, I mean it could entirely have been missed, because it's a very little footnote on one of St. Barbara's presentations, and it's a footnote that happens to change between presentations that are only 10 days apart. And that's that, you know, St. Barbara disclosed that while they have $60 million cash as at the 31st of March 2022, there's actually $20 million penned to go out the door for stamp duty for the Bardoc acquisition and some other costs. When you look at their when you look at St. Barbara's, you know, sources and uses of cash in the Genesis offer, in the very first presentation that went out for that deal, they basically report their cash balance as at the 31 of March at $40 million, and there's no footnote on it that says that's the 60 minus the 20. And very intriguingly, when they report their quarterly presentation just 10 days after it, there's that $40 million, and it no longer says as at 31 March. There's a footnoted as saying 60 less the 20. And why does this matter? Because I think, you know, Silver Lake have just used St. Barbara's cash balance saying that it is $60 million, which, you know, as at 31 of March is correct, but they're not subtracting the $20 million that is required to be spent on, you know, this Bardoc stamp duty and some other costs that clearly are actually part of the internal liabilities for St. Barbara.
Yeah. So I think that just really hammers home our point that the roughly $40 million that we flagged will be the cash that they, St. Barbara, have available to spend on their assets.
Totally. And I think we had about a $10 million discrepancy on how we estimate tax, and that, and, you know, we stand by our statement that there's $40 to $50 million of cash is going to be available to St. Barbara at the end of the Silver Lake transaction if it was pursued.
Is that, and that's plus 26% shareholding in Silver Lake.
Yeah, you're right. The shareholding, like,
which I can sell.
Exactly. And Silver Lake make a point of articulating that, that their shares that they're given are additional funding lever for St. Barbara if they, you know, if they had some sort of funding gap from what their future plans are. I think it's an important point to talk about because, like, it's a genuinely valid perspective of the board to think we need a certain amount of cash in order to create value in these assets. Now, they've really stood back from actually talking any number about what is required to spend on these assets, right? And they've kind of maybe even backed themselves into a corner of having to stick to that that line because you know all of the messaging has been, we'll talk about that after the deal with Genesis.
Exactly. They've really highlighted that Simbiri and Atlantic, the figures related to the CapEx to get those things humming again, that's only going to be spoken about second half of this year once the transaction's done and dusted.
Completely. But, you know, maybe they have some view or some sort of, you know, like thumbsuck number that they have in mind that is actually going to be required there. But it's, you know, and if they do have some indication of what that is, then you know, it would be sort of a valid perspective to think that the Genesis offer may be superior because you're going to result in less dilution in the long run because they'd have to raise more money in order to create the value via the CapEx. And so you could do some per share analysis and actually get a better outcome potentially. You know, but the valid point that Silver Lake make though is that their shares can actually be used as a funding lever to get the cash to do that. I think we would all benefit from knowing a little bit more guidance about how much money is needed to be spent on Atlantic and Simbiri. And then, you know, we can, as commentators and analysts and shareholders for some investors out there, make better decisions about this too.
Yeah, and I think there's one other thing that would be right to say that Silver Lake stated, alluding to that fact that you just mentioned, Trav. St. Barbara state in the one of their previous presentations that they are planning on distributing all, if not all, almost all, of the shares that they get and the cash from the Genesis transaction to their shareholders. So what Silver Lake sort of say in turn is that, yes, this could be used as a lever, as cash, and that St. Barbara don't have to go and give all that cash out to their shareholders. They can keep a bit more on hand, sell the shares, and have the cash.
What do you think about the 26% shareholding that St. Barbara would have in Silver Lake compared to the 15.5% they would add in Genesis up to, I think it was 19.7% post-contingent. The fact that, as Trav, you outlined in last week's episode, that going over that 20% threshold would mean that, and the Silver Lake have stated in this announcement, that an independent expert's report would be required to approve it. And that means, look, they have to independently review Silver Lake's business for this, which, and as we discussed last week, the issue with Genesis being reviewed independently, which they weren't being done, had to do because they were below 20%, would be, look, Ulysses doesn't have an oil reserve. There's a management premium attached to it with Rall at the helm. Look, Silver Lake don't appear to be bothered by that. They said they've got operating mines, generating cash flow. What's your thoughts on that, lads?
My line of thinking around this keeps coming back to the timing factor. And I can't quite debunk it yet, and I'm trying, trust me. You know, for the St. Barbara board to be so standoffish to what we think is a superior deal, there must be some real incentive around the completion happening at this 30 June date that has been flagged in so many different avenues. And 30 June is a pretty unusual date to pick, but everyone seems to be talking about it. You know, of course it's the end of a financial year for most Australian companies. And so it's just, to me, it's really like all of these different angles would, like let's say you entertain the Silver Lake deal and then and Genesis ended up matching it, right? And then they match it, you know, it just elongates things, and then you're not able to complete by 30th of June. So I think there's some real incentive from my perspective to complete this by 30th of June. And I did a little bit of digging, and I could dig up in St. Barbara's half-year financial reporting that they talk about a certain review date occurring on the 30th of June 2023 in relation to some of the outstanding debt facilities from their lenders. So like I'm speculating here, but they might have some degree of pressure being put on them from their lenders at the moment, and there might be something to do with that certain date that is driving a rationale to complete then.
Do you think from a lender's perspective that those concerns would be put at ease when there is a superior offer there, but?
It could 100% could be. And you know what? Like, while we're talking about the dynamics of lenders and debt here, I also find it intriguing that Silver Lake's angle wasn't to buy the debt. You know, we saw them do just that when they acquired Hart in Canada. Sort of gives them a front row seat to actually acquiring the assets. But
I do wonder how
but I guess they get the assets they don't want if they did that process.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder how sort of plausible that is with the bank syndicates, given that the initial Genesis deal, which came out prior to that half yearly, what the intention was to clear the debt books for St. Barbara, wasn't it?
So right, rebuttal points. What else was there, JD?
Strategic fit, management experience. I think we highlighted this one quite well. We highlighted the fact that Silver Lake has a team that they just know the Leonora assets, don't they? So I think we can jump straight into the next one, or later on in that point, actually, talking about total shareholder return. Now, I don't totally agree with Silver Lake on this point. I'm not sure what you guys think.
What is their point, JD?
So they have a total shareholder return figure of 197% over the past 5 years. So that, in their wording, stands them out amongst peers over that period of time. Now,
it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think they haven't given the actual comps. We can't see what companies they use. But if you look into the finer detail a bit and you look at the timing of that 5 years, it wasn't as of the close on Friday and the 5 years preceding that. It was, I think, smartly chosen as, I think it was the end of March, 31st of March 2018 until the end of March this financial year. Now, if you nose around a bit and have a bit of a dig into that, you'll see that the early months there were really strong performing months for the stock price of Silver Lake that make the whole subsequent period look quite strong, don't they?
Totally. I mean, yeah, look at what they were. So they've selected a period from the 29th of March 2018. And why would you choose that 5 years to the 31 of March? I mean, maybe someone reading it without, having worked in banking will be thinking, oh, no, they've just chosen one that corresponds to the latest ending quarter. And the cynic in me knows that there's some cherry picking going on. And ultimately, what they've done is they've manipulated the data a little. They've manipulated it, but they've chosen a period that paints a much more favourable picture than if you just chosen the last 5 years from at close Friday, which would have painted, I think, a fairer representation. And it drives the number a lot, right? Because you're basically looking at on the 28th of March 2018, their close price was 38 cents, and then about a month later, it was 60 cents. So that's about a 60%. Return in about a month there, which massively kind of adds a difference to the total shareholder return calc. So,
and it's kind of compounded, isn't it? So it looks quite good, and it did stand out a little bit in comparison to a lot of the other figures. We've been trying to do this in as real time as possible using share figures from live or the previous closing day. So it did stand out a little bit once you read the footnotes.
Totally. And like, speaking of sort of cherry picking, I mean, they're cherry picking a time frame there. And
everyone does it, don't they?
Yeah. And I think they've probably cherry picked a data set too, because I actually haven't run the comps myself, but I imagine they've probably left out Capricorn and just, framed that as choosing peers that are were producing 5 years ago. They've probably left out a few others.
Yeah, I dare say it was gold miners, probably Australian domiciled with assets here in Australia that were mining 5 years ago and mining today.
I think, and like JD, like if I was advising Silver Lake, I wouldn't have made this TSR point. I think they've got a strong enough case without doing this. I think this is sort of that angle of they're really trying to pitch themselves as, to St. Barbara shareholders. And I think I wouldn't have made the TSR argument because it's like, A, you can point the holes in the cherry picking bit, which we have, but B, what's St. Barbara going to do? They're going to point to Raleigh's amazing total shareholder return when he ran Saracen for his last 5 years there, and it'll blow Silver Lakes out of the park. So it's just an argument I don't think they should have made.
Agreed. So I think we can jump onto the next one, Maddie. Silver Lake keen to play down the synergies with Genesis and St. Barbara. So
yeah, I think this was one of the more aggressive parts of the announcement. And I want to go through a few bits that I thought that were aggressive through the whole thing, or maybe some little slide digs. But this was definitely one. So, like, as I said, this suggested operational synergies for the Genesis transaction was, you know, their words were, assumption that material from the Genesis Ulysses project will be processed through Leonora. Genesis Ulysses project does not have a declared ore reserve, and another use of assumption seems premature. So they're really honing in on the fact that, and as we stated, Genesis doesn't have an ore reserve or a mine plan, which can really open up a lot of different numbers and analysis. Look, I don't know what the Ulysses ore body looks like. There's no sort, I couldn't really find a cross sections of it, but the Gwalia dips at 40 degrees. So, and if you've got a very shallow dipping ore body, that can bring in a lot of factors of mineable stope shapes, increased dilution, recovery of ore, depending if you pull your footwall. So, look,
mate, you told me it was 30 degrees this morning. Have you done your homework since, or is it a?
Well, I didn't want to claim something that I've been told at a pub, but. But let's just go on the fact that Gwalia dips at 40 degrees. Yeah. So, that is. I think that is a big point.
Yeah,
that is
and
a big point.
Yeah, to your point on strong wording, there was a quote. There's little unique synergies highlighted in the Genesis St. Barbara deal. That's something that Silver Lake said. So I think that's a bit of a punchback to a line that we saw in the St. Barbara announcement on Friday that said the Silver Lake proposal didn't have many quantifiable benefits. So there was another line in the announcement today that Silver Lake had. St. Barbara's scalable Leonora mill has significant and increased incumbency value in the prevailing climate. Now, how I read this is that Silver Lake will be looking for additional bolt-on assets, companies, projects in the area. What do you guys think?
Totally. I wouldn't be surprised if they're, you know, in advanced discussions with other, you know, bolt-on projects in the area. But for them to have such a strong view here, they've clearly got a pretty favourable outcome on their ability to create value through regional consolidation. That's what I think.
And we tossed around the name Red. I think we did at least on Friday. There's other companies in that
talk about, you know, Kin, for example, like on Friday's episode, who wedged themselves into the Dacian deal hoping they'd get wrapped up, and Rail said no. I think there's a whole bunch of little, you know, players in the region who might have some ore that could feed a mill at some stage.
100%. So I think that really wraps up the rebuttals that Silver Lake had to all of St. Barbara's points, but they have stated down the bottom that they're still open to doing the deal on an expedited basis. Now, I think that really speaks to them still willing to buy these things at speed, because they know St. Barbara needs to do it in quite a short turnover. So it brings me to sort of thinking, why haven't Silver Lake bought any stock? Now, I'm not totally sure what you guys think of this. We haven't spoken about it too much, but just a bit of background, St. Barbara have about 800 million shares on issue. The average daily volume over the past 3 months is 7 million shares. Now, Silver Lake have highlighted that they have almost $270 million in cash. And just buying up a bit of stock, even if it's just under that 5%, you know, 4.99%, that would help in stopping the vote going ahead, because something we need to mention, and I'm sure we're going to dig into, The St. Barbara deal with Genesis needs shareholder approval. So they need at least 50% of shareholders of each company to vote this one forward.
So I think that some considerations of them buying stock, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure it's something that Silver Lake have thought of, and they might actually already own some. We don't know, right? But the reality is that it absolutely helps them for the purposes of voting down a Genesis transaction. They're kind of stuck with that stock after that vote though, and there's no guarantee that their transaction gets over the line themselves. So I think there's a couple of considerations there. Do they actually have any interest in the non-Leonora assets? Probably not. And yet owning the stock probably lends itself more towards a corporate type of merger from a, you know, rationale perspective, and that might just be a path that's a bit unpalatable given, you know, the other assets at play here. So,
well, my first thought when I saw that, when we did discuss why aren't they buying shares, I couldn't see Silver Lake wanting to buy St Barbara shares and having any exposure to these, to the Atlantic and Simberi assets. What do you think? Is that your thought too?
I actually think that it might be an option. Just, I mean, like, you can sell St Barbara's shares at the end of it. Depending on the size, though, it'd be pretty hard to find a buyer. I think it genuinely is an option. They wouldn't have any, I doubt they've got any interest in the non-Leonora assets, but just in terms of creating some influence, it could be a real consideration. Like, another thing to think about there, though, is how can they vote that stock? How can they vote that share on? There's two separate things that they'd want to be able to vote it on, right? The first is being able to block the Genesis transaction, which they can use to block the Genesis transaction. But then there's going to be another shareholder vote required. And if they bought more than 10%, then, you know, when it comes to actually trying to approve their proposal, then, you know, they would need another listing rule approval. So that's, you know, listing rule 10.1. They would be able to use their 10% stake in order to vote on that. And that's sort of a related party listing rule that would have to be approved by shareholders where they can't vote in it themselves.
So, well, the only reason they'd buy stock would be to give them the voting power
to turn down the Genesis one, because that one is going to a vote as things stand.
Totally, yeah. Yeah.
So I think the next step from there is to sort of look into the next shareholders. So look down the register. And we should sort of preface this, what we're going to talk about now, with the fact that we've pulled up data on the top 20 shareholders. These things are sort of notoriously wrong. The data is updated at various points in time.
Is it? It's usually updated from the annual report, is that right? It doesn't get updated and gets updated once a year, does it?
When there's changes in significant holdings, you'll see that, and there's various other announcements that'll pop up and show it. So it's not just the annual report.
Yeah, there's a bunch of data providers that can sort of source flows that yield varying degrees of accuracy.
Yeah,
whenever you talk about publicly sourced shareholdings, you've got to sort of caveat the quality of the data. The only way you can get really good data on this is via the company's share registry themselves that they provide you. But I don't think they're going to be in a rush to give us their share registry.
Yeah, St. Barbara, if you feel like sending us your top 20 shareholder list, that'd be much appreciated for our analysis.
Yeah, we'll have a few other questions if they start replying as well, I'm sure.
but hey, we should point out, like, the invite is open. We'd love to have anyone from St. Barbara, anyone from Silver Lake, anyone from Genesis on the show.
And or all three at once would be sensational, mate, I think.
A fireside chat.
What do you think of panel?
A panel. Oh, yeah. That would be some juicy content. I think I would be watching that one with keen eyes. I mean, I don't think we'd even have to facilitate that. I just think they could talk and we'd just press record.
Yeah, well, we'll be back in 2 hours.
So digging into that top 20 that we just referenced. So from our numbers, 63% of the shares on issue are held by the top 20. And as you'd expect, there's many passive funds in there too. So when you think of big passive funds, you think of the likes of Vanguard and BlackRock and so on. Now, the question that springs to my mind immediately is, how are these guys going to vote? They are often just holding shares as a part of a big index. So as a generic example, you know, your ASX 200 index and all these funds will just have to hold all the shares of companies in the ASX 200.
Well, I mean, totally. And stepping it back a second, this whole letter from Silver Lake it's a letter targeting St. Barbara's shareholders. So Silver Lake obviously are of the belief that there is a pathway to an outcome here if they can really cut through to St. Barbara's shareholders. And so, you know, I think that they clearly believe there's a way through. What do you think, JD?
Well, wouldn't those funds vote based on what is recommended by the board?
Not always. They can, and there's often these ISS, I forget what the acronym stands for, but they sort of advise on how these bigger groups will vote. But yeah, it sort of depends on the issue, where and what's going on exactly. But there was a statement I saw on the Van Eck website. Now, Van Eck are the group that create the sort of GDX and GDXJ, which are the big gold exchanges, and they hold almost 10% of St. Barbara. And interestingly, they don't hold any Genesis, but they also do hold a bit of stock in Silver Lake. Now, the line that stood out to me from their website was, ultimately, investment managers have a fiduciary duty to act in the best interest of investors facilitated by taking an active position regarding proxy votes. Now, to me, that's really interesting. That sounds like they will look at what is in the best interest of the shareholders, and, you know, that could lead them to voting against this Genesis St. Barbara transaction.
Totally.
Because they might be of the stance that the Silver Lake might provide better returns to the shareholders.
So just to paint the picture even more, JD, I mean, you've got support, like Silver Lake's got support indicatively for eight, they call it 18% of the register via L1 and Baker Steel, and they need to get to that sort of 50% level or approximating it, getting near that 50% level where it's sort of enough pressure that St. Barbara feel like there's a real doubt in actually getting an approval here. And so we've got 18% there already. What's the pathway to the next 32? You're saying that Vanek is one lever. What does the rest of the register look like?
Yeah, so we've got First Sentier 7%. Now, I should flag that they also own Genesis and Silver Lake stock. Schroeder, roughly 4%. DZ Bank, which is a private bank from Europe. So that would likely be a high net worth individual, I'd imagine, similar to a nominee type account you might see in Australia. Aussie Super, 3.5%, but sort of needless to say, they're a big backer of Genesis and Raleigh. And Norges, which is the sovereign wealth fund of Norway, and Franklin Templeton, they together make up roughly 3%, but also worth mentioning that they hold stock in Genesis.
Mm.
So
that's pretty interesting, right? Because you look at a lot of these players who have a degree of influence on getting to that 50%. You know, there's quite a few names on there that hold stock in Genesis, and they would rightfully be fearful that if this proposed deal with St. Barbara gets voted down, that the value of their Genesis holding would fall by a lot more than, you know, the any change in St. Barbara holding by virtue of doing a deal with Silver Lake.
Exactly. I think there's a bit of an onus on Silver Lake to articulate to the shareholders how they're going to provide value beyond the transaction to really win them over.
Totally. So Silver Lake's got to make a pitch to these funds and say, hang on, you know, the value that your Genesis shares are going to go down by is going to be completely offset because we're going to create so much value, and look, there's a premium there already. So, yeah, I think it's a harder sell to those institutions that are clearly, bullish Genesis as well, especially Aussie Super, right? Like, I mean, you just saw, like, yeah, Aussie Super stand to just... it's a pretty big statement, their support in the two conditional placements that have been conducted, and so I'd be surprised if they voted their position in St. Barbara.
Do you think there will be a psychological play for these big institutions that are top shareholders in St. Barbara who have lost a lot of money, but see this as a potential to recoup a portion of it, or not? Do you think that'd play? Or they'd more be looking from what's lost is lost, and are we going to make more out of Genesis or St. Barbara?
Yeah, I think I reckon that mentality is maybe a bit more true with the retail punter. Instos sort of don't get too trapped into the sunk loss fallacy. They hopefully stay a bit more rational along the way and just evaluate everything on the merits. In the past is the past.
And we also don't know how long these guys have all been shareholders for. So I think we should just
just on that point too, JD. I mean, like. A decent part of Barb's register would actually be, you know, Bardock shareholders, for example. They did that deal not long ago, and I mean, so I think you've just got a bunch of maybe, you know, not necessarily natural shareholders of the stock, and how do you anticipate how they're feeling about this?
Yeah, so worth diving a bit deeper on L1 and Baker Steel. So like we said before, they have roughly 18%. Now Silver Lake have flagged that they're on Silver Lake's side of this transaction. Well, they want to see the St. Barbara board explore the transaction with Silver Lake a bit more. And so L1, they're an activist fund. Now, what that sort of means is they've got a track record of going into companies, buying up shares, and potentially asking for a board seat or pushing the management for changes that they want to see. That's really the role of what an activist does. Baker Steel, a bit harder to find any color on whether how active they might get. But just another angle which I thought we'd brainstorm over is whether they'd want a board seat. Now, your St. Barbara board isn't your typical board. It's four seats on that board. So how likely this all is kind of unknown. But well,
four seats on the board, you know, a new chairperson, because the chairperson just stood down.
Been on the board for a while.
Had some history of being on the board. Dan Locker, how long has he been at the company? It's not that long, right?
Since late 2022, came from once that Western Areas transaction was all done and done.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
It's an interesting one. So traditionally 5 to 10% of a holding in a company would kind of get you a right to a board seat. That's not in any sort of statements written down, but I don't think that really applies here. Although combined holding 18%, you know, it's worth a shout. Could we see something like what we saw at Breaker for the former chairman pushing to get rid of the entire board? I think it's
the colonel trying to kick off the board.
Yeah, it's a tough call, but we'll sort of keep an eye on that one and see if there's any sort of action at a board level.
Well, I think Silver Lake alluded to this sort of potential in the wording of their letter today. It does say voting down or other alternatives that, you know, shareholders could have rights to doing, and they're potentially talking about something like this.
So why are we thinking that they're going after these assets still? And mostly, is this just going to continue on their website? Is this information actually going to get to the ASX at some point,
mate, do you think? I don't know what Silver Lake are bloody paying ASX in listing fees per year, but, you know, to date, we're an independent source of information. We call it as we see, but they should start paying bloody money of mine. We're getting it to more people than ASX at the moment. So
yeah, I know. Well, okay, let's look at why they're going after these Leonora assets out of, like, you know, we've talked about, look, Musgrave as potential opportunity, but look, we can probably surmise that they are looking for quick answers to keep everything flowing.
Yeah, I think you're bang on with that, Matty, and that's something that we didn't actually mention on Friday. But just having a quick look at Mount Monger and at Deflector, both have less than 600,000 ounces in reserve. If you have a quick look at the various projects across the Leonora assets, and they've got 3 million ounces. So
is that in reserve or resource?
That's in reserve.
Reserve.
Yeah. So
did that include Aphrodite and Zoroastrian?
That's right. Tower Hill, Gwalia, and the assets they'd scooped up from the acquisition of Bardoc.
So you could nearly probably write off Aphrodite, you would imagine. That's the refractory run. Zoroastrian, I did find a cross section on that. That's a pretty shallow dipping ore body in bits based on the one cross section I've seen. So whether they see an opportunity for that project, I'm not sure.
It's really Gwalia, Tower Hill in a few years' time, you'd think, and any potential sort of bolt-ons. But that's, one point which I think we didn't stress enough on Friday, that their reserves are getting shorter and they need to sort of fill that out.
I want to go over a couple of things that really stood out in the Silver Lake announcement to me as a bit of a I read firstly as like, right, I reckon Silver Lake's having a bit of a dig here at Genesis. Look, and some of it wasn't, you couldn't say factual, but it was like their version of the facts. So they were really honing in on the Silver Lakes management team. So they said, look, Silver Lakes' current portfolio of underground mines, management team's demonstrated experience and track record of mining underground mines in Western Australia. I first thought, right, they're honing in on the fact that Genesis have come from a bit of an open pit background. The Saracen did take on, have, you know, Thunderbox, Carasu Dam underground projects, but it RAL is come from an open pit background. So that was the first thing I sort of read from that. And the other one was when they were talking about what St. Barbara will end up with post-transaction. So they said, look, so they'll get 26% of Silver Lake on an undiluted basis and a 25.7% of Silver Lake on a fully diluted basis, saying approximately a 1% difference. But then they said under the Genesis transaction, St. Barbara will own 15.2% of Genesis, undiluted, and 14.5% of Genesis fully diluted, and then in brackets, a 5% difference. So it was putting those differences in there between the diluted thing was highlighting how many options that Genesis have on board, which you boys would know, or I assume they're going to RAL, those options.
There was a large option package that was, yeah, I think Riley got a good portion, and as well all the shareholders that came in that sort of transformative transaction they did a couple of years ago now.
Yeah, so they, I don't know, they stood out to me. I found them very interesting.
Totally.
Yeah, there was one more question that sort of sprung to mind, what constitutes a fiduciary out? So we can see from the numbers we did that the Silver Lake deal was almost 15% in premium to the Genesis deal. So we've done a bit of digging on this one.
Well, you have, mate, and we should absolutely disclose that we have to lend on a bit of legal expertise here, which is currently not baked into our skill set. But I've put some questions out into some people who can answer this question. And the response I got back, I'll read it out, but I won't attribute it, is that the courts and the takeovers panel are always reluctant to challenge a board's decision making regarding their fiduciary responsibilities. In order to get the panel interested, you'd need to point to a corporate control issue, which is not present because this is an asset deal. Silver Lake, they could try to argue their disclosure is deficient and complain to ASIC, but ASIC would be too slow. And the last paragraph is actually a bit of advice. The trick would be for Silver Lake to improve their offer and then force St. Barbara to reconsider and publicly retest their fiduciary responsibilities. So perhaps that's the bigger play here all along, is going public now and benchmarking it and then coming back with a higher offer, in which case the board's under pressure immediately to retest that fiduciary responsibilities again.
So you're saying that Silver Lake would have to put in another offer higher mm-hmm. than their 750?
Correct. That would lead to the St. Barbara board having to reconsider it.
Exactly.
Would they have to only put... Could they put it, increase it by $2 million and make them reconsider it? How does that work?
I think the exercise that the Board of St. Barbara would have done is that, you know, it would have required a degree of internal valuation work, and that, you know, valuation paper goes to the board so that they can have something to stand behind in why they haven't, you know, opened the door. And so there'd be a number in their head of what needs to be met. Silver Lake, we'll be trying to guess that number without going too high.
If you look on that chart that Silver Lake highlighted, looking back of the past 12 months, the deal as it stands now would have averaged a 35% premium. That's in line with your traditional sort of buyout premium, you know. So
this is an asset deal, right? So you shouldn't be, you know, benchmarking it as a premium to Genesis's existing deal. I mean, yeah, just it is really interesting. I mean. What are your takeaways, like, looking at this whole 6-page document, like, JD? Like, what, like, if you just zoom out a bit, like, where do you land interpreting all of this?
And just highlight that this isn't on the ASX. That's the biggest bloody takeaway. Like, this is, we're going all, these are, it's two announcements now that haven't even been on the ASX.
Have
you ever seen
piece.
This before?
I haven't personally, but I'm sure something like this has happened before. But, like, you know, we put out our bid on Friday and we made a point to please have someone explain to us why this hasn't been allowed on ASX. And all the feedback that came in over the weekend, not a single person could articulate to us why this hasn't been allowed on ASX. So I think that's still a bloody please explain. Like,
granted, we don't have too many friends at the ASX, but it would be interesting to hear what they have to say.
But even an ex, like someone that's used to work there who might have a view, like anyone that's like just got some familiarity with ASX listing rules and disclosure requirements, can someone like please tell us like why, what's going on here?
Was this one actually rejected again, or did they just go straight to the website?
Or does it go under the same premise that the first one was rejected, so this one would be rejected too?
Yeah, I assume it was probably rejected as well, to be honest. I mean, didn't come out before market. This is sort of a few hours into market, which to me is a bit indicative of maybe they'd submitted a bit earlier and got knocked back. But, you know, heck, I think that the theatrics now are almost just have people clicking the refresh on their media release page and seeing what comes next. So, I actually don't think it matters too much that it's not coming out on ASX now, because everyone's a bit hooked to what is Silver Lake going to release on their website next. I'm sure they've never had more internet traffic in their life.
Oh, I think so. But you would assume St. Barbara and Genesis have been hoping it's going away, but though we're not doing a good job of letting that happen with a bit of media coverage around it, are we?
That's right.
So where to from here then? if you look at the last page of their announcement, they've pretty much given the scenarios Silver Lake have put out, saying that, as we mentioned before, Genesis have the right to match the bidding offer. What's that? That's the no. That was under the no shop, no talk.
That's right. I think if you want a hot take, I would say that the pressure on the St. Barbara board will mount over the coming weeks, and it'd be really interesting to see what St. Barbara's current shareholders say. But I'm sure we'll see St. Barbara's board come out with another announcement over the next couple of weeks, and I wouldn't be too surprised if they have to reconsider that one way or another, whether that comes from another Silver Lake bid.
Yeah, I think that's going to depend a lot on shareholder pressure.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Then so the two scenarios here that Silver Lake put out, if Genesis decided to match any such binding offer, say Barbara shareholders would have the benefit of an improved Genesis transaction, or if they did not decide to match it, then they'd have the benefit, St. Barbara shareholders would have the benefit of the Silver Lake proposal. So it's upside for both. That's how they're painting the situation. Right, stay tuned, everyone. We will be back on this. Right, Linus JD. Linus have had a favourable decision to help them get through a potential period of no operation. Take us into it, mate. What's going on?
Yeah, we haven't gone too deep on Linus, given we've probably spoken to any listeners out there for hours now on the previous transaction, but we'll just skim over this one quickly. So the situation before the announcement today was that the Malaysian government had ordered the closing of the cracking and leaching facility that Linus operate in Malaysia. So that would have been a real hold-up for Linus, as they wouldn't essentially be producing anything in the interim period until their Kalgoorlie facility is completed. So the plan was, prior to the announcement today, that their product, their concentrate from Mount Weld, would go to the Kalgoorlie facility and then be sent onward for final processing in Malaysia. But they've been given a bit of a reprieve from the Malaysian government. That ban doesn't start on the 1st of July anymore. That now starts on the 1st of January next year. So, yeah, it's a big weight off Linus's shoulders, because it wasn't looking like they'd get Kalgoorlie finished up and running until, I think, August was the earliest that they'd sort of flagged this year. So, yeah, like I said, it's a big weight off the company's shoulders, and you can see that in the share price. Last time I checked, they were up 12-odd percent this morning, so there's not going to be that 2 or 3 months of, yeah, not much revenue coming in the door.
So, and that was a function of the radioactive content of that material.
Yeah, it was, I believe, to do with how Linus held or stored the sort of toxic waste after the cracking and leaching process is done.
And then the Kalgoorlie facility removes a portion of that before they send
it
to Malaysia.
Yeah, it's that sort of first stage of processing.
Yeah, cool. Right, let's get into a recap of other news. Widgie Nickel, they had some hits, 30 metres at 1.17% nickel was the highlight there, south of their Gillett mineralisation. So that's in an area that was previously thought to be closed off. And Widgie's also submitted their mining proposal for their Faraday Lithium project, which is a short-term DSO opportunity. King of the Hill, Red 5, second consecutive month of record performance. They produced 18,000 ounces. And look, Argonaut's analysis is that if costs are flat, Red 5 will have to produce 55,000 ounces for the quarter, this coming quarter, just to break even. So that's another 3 months at this current record production rate. So I think they're sitting at 18 cents, and Argonaut have got a sell rating on them for 7 cents.
Johnny Max had that sell up for a long time. Yeah, I think he had to keep it up, you know, as the share price climbed and climbed and climbed and climbed, and then looks a bit vindicated now. He does occasionally call it right when he puts a sell on a developer. He did it, you know, famously very well with Dacian.
And yeah. I think the crux of the call was on the not proper disclosure of all the financials, wasn't it?
Well, I think it started with the feasibility study. He saw the feasibility study and just thought, like, what are they doing here? He had some critiques on you know, mining rates associated with it, and you just thought it looked like they were trying to, you know, cram too much into it to jack up the economics part to get the financing, and the financing took a long time to come together, as we remember.
Right, our Taugua, they've also provided an update on their permitting for their English. This is the English pronunciation of Vertanghi.
Australian,
not Swedish. Anide project in Sweden. They wrapped up a 3-day hearing. Results will be published June 21st. Panoramic, they've provided some results from a 3-hole program at the Savannah Nickel Mine, 43 metres at 0.79% nickel and 5 metres at 1.6 were the standouts. Lads, great deep dive. And again, making me look sensational. Thank you very much, as always, JD Trav.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you, Maddie.
Hooteroo.
Oh, we forgot about that, JD. We have had some YouTube feedback from a great listener saying that Hooteroo has become an email sign-off within their organisation. So, and they want to clarify the spelling so that the emails are correct. So, Hooteroo, how would you spell it?
More importantly, can we go back a minute? Where the hell did this come from, JD?
I think I've been mispronouncing what Maddie said as a see you later for quite a while
now.
So
I was saying Hooteroo and JD thought I was saying Hooteroo.
There we go.
So how do you spell Hooteroo, JD?
Jeez, H-O-O-T-E-R-O-O.
Yeah, that's how I would have spelled it. H-O-O-T-E-R-O-O.
It's my tip for the 2024 Oxford Dictionary New Word of the Year, Hooteroo.
Hooteroo.
There you go. You heard it here.
So is that right?
The information contained in this episode of Money of Mine is of general nature only and does not take into account the objectives, financial situation, or needs of any particular person. Before making any investment decision, you should consult with your financial advisor and consider how appropriate the advice is to your objectives, financial situation, and needs.